Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I ask you, what if some famous person from history showed up in your kitchen one day and you could see that person and go, oh my God, what are you doing here? And talk to that person. And what if there's some project going on out there of famous people who know that they can actually speak to someone on this side who can hear them clearly and put some books together of what they have to say now. What's up with them? What do we need to know that can help us move forward from these people who were geniuses in their own day? And maybe they can be geniuses for us now. So I'm going to talk with the author of the book, Conversations with History. And she's the one person who Ben Franklin showed up to get this whole thing started. Susan Lander, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Peter. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad that you could talk about it and write a book about it, and that you were cooperative with these guys.
Yeah, it's funny, when they showed up, I wasn't actually quite sure what to do with them, because people ask, how did you start this? And it wasn't actually my idea. They just showed up, and then I thought, well, you know, what do I do? And I thought, okay, well, I was a lawyer for 20 years, and you know, when in doubt, just ask questions. And so I started asking questions. And it's funny, because at the beginning I thought, well, this is going to be fun, you know, talking to these famous people, and I'll just get all the dish and I'll like the scoop and learn about them. But what I found through the course of writing the book and speaking to these 22 historical figures and celebrities in spirit, that they had a lot to teach, and that's actually why they came in to do the book.
And I really enjoyed reading all of the interviews and what they did have to teach, as well as I really appreciated feeling their personalities, getting a sense of who they were by the way they present themselves. And it's... No, it's them talking because their personalities come through.
It's true. That's actually something I enjoyed the most about it, because they, as a medium, you know, I can speak with spirits. I can see images, and I can hear words, phrases, music, and I can feel their feelings. So when I actually work with them or talk with them, I'm basically like, we blend our energy so I can feel them. So I actually got to really personally feel what they were like. And of course, that never happened in you know, I guess, what's real life? I'm not quite sure. But when they were here, that never happened. And so that was fun to get to feel their personalities and get to know them a bit.
Right. And some of them are contemporaries, and some are from ancient history. And so it was really exciting, the diversity of the people who came through to you, starting with Ben Franklin. I mean, he's a guy who you would think wouldn't be so interested in needing to say something today.
Yes, I would think that, but he's still interested in inventing and projects.
So that's what he was interested in.
Yeah, this was a project to him. He was definitely, he said, and I believe this is true because he was first that came through. He was one of the spirits that organized this up there. I was just down here for the ride. I really was. And they were showing up. I was just trying to keep track of who was supposed to be in the book. So,
and writing it,
and it was a lot. I mean, it went on for a couple of years, and I did in total 44 interviews.
So you have another book coming out.
I have another book, another 22 that were done. So for me, it was just a matter of kind of keeping up. and watching the signs and getting the messages about who was next, and working with the spirits to keep some semblance of order in my life so I could live here, because that's my job too.
But it's interesting, because I think when people move on, I mean, certainly we're concerned about our families and maybe the recognition we received in life. And if we were famous, you know, it's nice to see that people still hold that. But then again, we had our day. So why do we need another day?
Well, oh, such a great question. Because when you're on the other side, it's by my experience as a medium, that you are your best self on the other side. The best version of who you can be as a soul. I'll use that word, soul or spirit. And so once they pass to the other side, they can really review their life and the choices they made and see what they've learned. And then they turned around with this book and taught us. So it was their second chance to tell people what they've learned. And they were so successful. In a lot of ways, this book is like, from all these people, it's like, what was the secret of my success? And I'll share it with you so you can be successful too. Like,
that's true. And I saw that in so many people that it's inspiring to read them. And then there are people who just, you know, feel uncomfortable that their lives were cut short, like John Belushi.
Yes. Yeah. He was the closest spirit that to having something like regret. Mm-hmm. Regret is, it's not really common as a soul. It's over there. The perspective is, oh, you were on Earth and the story was the story and you did how you did and maybe you'll do better next time. But, a couple of them did have regrets. His regret was just leaving too early and, you know, getting caught in the drugs, because he said he could have had so much more fun here.
Yeah. And then another regret, kind of, was Patrick Swayze.
Yes. Yes. He didn't want to leave Lisa Nimi, you know, his wife and at the time. And he had regret that he left. And he fought to stay here, but at a certain point, you know, sometimes the body just can't.
Right. And here he is out there reflecting to you about his sadness of leaving his wife behind.
Yes. And also having to really having made peace with her getting on with her life here, because she actually recently got married.
Right. And he came back to you.
Yeah, he did. He did the interview and then he went away for, I guess, about a year. Although he pops in and out. He's one of those that visits sometimes. A couple of them do. But we, you know, just it was more like, hello, and then he'd leave again. But, it was very interesting. During the final editing of this book, actually, pardon me, one of my editors at Hay House sent me an email. She said, do you know Patrick Swayze's wife got married this weekend? And it was literally, I mean, I'm saying the final week of editing of the book. So, he had come in. And he'd come in with a message saying, you know, I want you to be happy and I love you and I'll wait here.
And giving her permission to.
And giving her permission to. Yeah. And just be happy. Yeah. You know, it's very unselfish. She's very totally unselfish.
And then there are people who really continue to have political agendas. And Abbie Hoffman came through and I was surprised to see his name there. And he still is concerned about humanity.
Yes, I was surprised to see his name there, too, because I knew very little about him. And when I first started this project, Ben Franklin came in, and I talked to some people about it, and they said, wouldn't it be cool if you did a project like this? And I said, okay, universe, I'll bite. Let's play a game here. If I'm to do this, who am I supposed to talk to? And then I got these first five names. And it was, after Ben Franklin, it was Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, Abbie Hoffman, the Vietnam-era anti-war protester, and Farrah Fawcett and Andy Warhol. And at that point, I knew that they were actually orchestrating this, because I barely knew anything about Abbie Hoffman and Frederick Douglass. I never would have chosen them. But yes, but it was fun talking with him, and he definitely still, peace is very important to him. And he says that he's working on that on the other side. And they basically try to share ideas with people on Earth to continue to spread the message. And this book is just another version of that.
And that's important to know, that there is a huge life out there, a very active, think tanks are going on all over the place. Poets are writing poetry out there and sometimes delivering them here. I have a friend who is an automatic writer, and she just, all she knows is that her hand is moving on the paper. As far as she's concerned, she has no idea what she's writing. And then she looks at it later, and it's beautiful poetry, and it's signed, Walt.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I'd love to see it sometime, actually. Yeah, in this book, Sappho, who lived 2,500 years ago, wrote this amazing poetry. Most of it was destroyed except for 200 fragments and one complete poem. And she gave me a bunch of poems that are spectacular, which is amazing because I could never write poetry. I tried in high school. It was horrible. And yeah, they come. She had them written up there. And also Betsy Ross.
Yeah, let's talk about Betsy Ross, because I was, maybe she's one of the biggest surprises in the list. That, you know, she is a figure in history, but how much do we really know about her except for the flag?
Right,
And she doesn't even, in her interview with you, she didn't even take a lot of responsibility for that flag.
Right. That was actually funny. I asked her, I said, did you sew the flag? Because there's this historical question about it. And she said it was a partial fabrication. And when I heard that, I also saw Ben Franklin. And it's just like a pun that he would say. And they were friends then. So then they're friends now on the other side. They're still, you know, connected as spirits. So, but in the interview, she came in and delivered this incredible statement very, very quickly. I could barely keep up with her. I was just writing, and just, it was just coming in, like basically coming in my ear, and I was writing. But she said that she was gay. And I really questioned that, and I questioned her, and I said, why would you say that? Why would you do this? Why would you want to talk about it? And then she said, well, you know, I was thought of as a revolutionary, but I couldn't even be myself. And true, in that lifetime, she was married, I think, 3 times. But that's what women did.
And she also had her own private relationships.
Yes, she had her own private relationships. She said there was an underground network in Philadelphia, where I'm from, and that they just knew who they were. But you couldn't be out. I mean, this was all, you know, in the 1700s, and, you know, you can. It's hard to be out now, you know, hundreds of years later. So, but what I thought amazing about that statement was it's incredibly lyrical and beautiful. And it's just an example of that poetic automatic writing that just comes through you and not from you as a medium. Yeah, through me.
Being a medium is a gift that people don't realize what a pleasure it is when you're working, being supported by, so detail-wise from the other side, and what a pleasure it is to represent a whole universe that doesn't get enough representation on this plane.
Right.
So you're an ambassador for the other side.
Ambassador for the other side. Oh, I like that. I should make a sign.
Right. So let's talk about other people here, because Walt Disney came through, and he's a fascinating guy. And, you know, he talked about his favorite character.
Oh, Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey. He said he's a little gentleman, and he said that there was something of him and Mickey, of course. And I could see it or feel it when I was speaking with him. And he was really interesting to talk to. He still feels very much childlike and has this childlike wonder. And for him, it's still all about the magic. uh-huh. and create and just seeing life from a magical perspective and seeing creation and creating your life from a position of, isn't this magical? Look what I can do.
Right.
It's interesting.
And then what a gift to be speaking with Gandhi.
Wow. Yes. Gandhi gave me a headache. I could barely keep up with him. He's so brilliant. And he talked a lot about war and peace, how you can't win wars. And he just really delved into that a lot. You know, this just about how futile it is as, you know, a way to solve anything. It doesn't work. And, you know, it's the old way, and just because it's what people knew. But, you know, he and others talk about just because it's the way that the rule book of the past does not mean we have to continue operating this way. And that very much is a message of this book. You know, we are powerful and we can take back our power, but we have to, you know, well, their suggestion is in order to do that, we must put people in positions of power that support our values and what's important to us.
Right. And what they're saying is that they can't really do anything but give us advice. We're the people who have to act on it. And if we don't act on it, we're wasting our lives.
Yes. And it's important that we do that now, because we are at this, we're at a place of transformation and choices, you know, for our futures, for the future of our planet. You know, it's their whole message is take action on your dreams, take action on the world you want to see. And they also say that it's never been easier to get our message out because of the internet communication, just what we're doing now. You know, we can spread our message. I think the key is really to feel like there's just a lot of feelings of disempowerment because of the powerful that seem to call the shots and control, control like the media, news, but they don't have to, and we have tools to get out the word too.
Right, and so it's great to be inspired by these people who are telling us to. For instance, Abby Hoffman.
Yeah, I loved him. He was really fun. It was fun too in this book. I never particularly liked history. I thought it was boring. But once I started doing this, and I would do the pieces without researching them. If I knew absolutely nothing, maybe I would do like a couple minutes of internet research to just kind of come up with the first couple, five questions or so, a few questions to start the flow of information. And but I felt like I totally lost my train of thought. But I thought it was really interesting about what I learned about them. And at the beginning of each of the pieces are these little biographies. And, you know, just enough to get a taste of who they were, what they did. And a lot of people say to me, you know, I didn't know this about them. And that's something that they like about the book.
Well, one person who was very curious was an expert, a woman, a friend of yours, who was an expert on Kurt Vonnegut.
Right.
And she was having lunch with you.
And, yes.
And she helped you interview Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, that was really fun. She was an expert on Kurt Vonnegut, and I was not. I am, well, I know a lot more about him now. But yes, we were just at a outdoor cafe here on the west side in Manhattan, and we were talking about the book, and she said, oh, you should talk to Kurt Vonnegut. That would be so fun. And she had actually done a staged reading of one of his plays called Mother Night. And so I said, well, what would you want to ask him? And of course, he just popped in. And I turned on my iPhone. Thank you, Steve Jobs. Of course, their new iPhone.
Also that came in separately.
It came in separately. And of course, they debuted the iPhone 6, I think, yesterday.
Right.
But he came right in and Kurt Vonnegut came in, started answering these questions. and I turned on my iTalk and recorded it, and I basically would ask him questions telepathically. He would give me the answer, and then I would repeat the answer to my friend. And then I would actually, a lot of times I would actually say something. At one point I said, she said, what was your favorite food or something? And he said, brownies, breakfast of champions. And I repeated that to her and she said, oh, that's one of his books. And then I researched brownies later and found out, this was really strange, that a brownie, there was in one of his books, I think it was called Cat's Cradle. It was something, there was a one of his little short pieces called, I think, The Last Batch of Brownies. And the brownie actually wasn't a brownie. It was a gift that someone, that the character in the story gave to someone else before he died. It was his final gift. So it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, to hear that from him sitting in that cafe.
Yeah.
And for her to be there witnessing the information that you didn't know.
I hadn't.
She did.
I mean, the brownie, that was really obscure.
Yeah.
And it was a final gift. It was really amazing. There were a lot of synchronicities like that all throughout the book.
Yeah, and fascinating personalities. I mean, talk about a personality is Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just listening to him this morning on the way here. His whole demeanor, feeling is just peace and happiness and grace. And his message was all about being your original self. He said that's being yourself is where your power lies. And, you know, when you are yourself, when you're living in your originality, expressing your originality, whatever that is, success and happiness will follow.
And he can show that.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, it's amazing. The diversity here, Albert Einstein. Now he had a lot to say. He even gave you scientific information, didn't he?
That was challenging. I you know, as the medium, they have to use my frame of reference so I understand. Spirits use mediums as dictionaries, basically, and so we can take the information, what we see, hear, and feel, and translate it. So it's basically our frame of reference. So he was talking about physics, like, uh-oh. but he did a really good job. He showed me different images, and he talked about time. And he said, we're way too bound to time, and it's a tool. It's just a tool. It's like a ruler. You just use it to measure when you need it. Otherwise, he said, put it in a drawer and just forget it.
That's good.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go way back to, well, certainly Sappho is way back. But more recently is King Charlemagne.
King Charlemagne. Yeah. He, as I said in the book, he was like a big blonde hunky Bill Clinton.
Okay.
Yeah. He had a whole lot of wives and mistresses and a lot of kids, and I could see why. Very charismatic, very powerful as a spirit. It worried me a bit. He said, I said, if you were going to come back, would you just set about conquering the world again? And he said, I'd like to believe I wouldn't, but I might. And I thought, let's leave you over there, because he could do it, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what's also interesting is that you saw him looking probably how he did in his prime, because he likely got very old, right?
Yeah. And, oh, yes.
And he, you know, so you weren't looking at this craggy old king, you know, with a heavy crown on a shrunken head that was, you know, wrinkled up. You were seeing him in his prime.
Yeah. That's one of the nice things about the other side, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we have these dense bodies. We don't get to, you know, reshape them easily just through thought. But over there, we're lighter.
Yes.
So you can just sort of reshape the way you look however you want.
Yeah, I've had experiences from people on the other side, my mother in particular, who showed up to me one day and And she had died. She was 71, but she was in her 30s when I saw her. And when she was in her 30s, in reality, she had buck teeth. And she had them fixed later in her life. She wore braces. But when she was younger, she had buck teeth. But when she showed up, she didn't have them. So she had sculpted her mouth the way she wanted it.
Isn't that nice? I wish I could do that.
Well, you know, when we get to the other side, we can play around a lot
more.
And, you know, we're actually running late in the show now, and there are still people we haven't talked about who are fascinating. Eva Perón, it's amazing to hear her story as told to you and what she's interested in. Farrah Fawcett as well. It goes on and on. I mean, this is a long list. Nostradamus, I mean, that's cool because he came through not to give us all of his predictions for the future. He came through again, as did Ben Franklin, as a scientist.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to talk about the scientist thing, Nostradamus.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah. That, you know, what their real interest was and what we have made important about these people.
Yeah, yeah. Nostradamus came across, he's like, I'm a doctor, I'm a healer. I thought, oh, interesting.
Very clear. Mm-hmm. To the point. And then you have a future book with 22 others that I can't even imagine. And who knows?
Cleopatra.
Mm. Well, that's
awesome.
Far out. Yeah.
It's Cleopatra. Queen Elizabeth I is in it, too.
Wow.
And actually, if the listeners would like to see a couple of these interviews, they could actually go to my website.
Interesting.
At Susan... It's Susan Lander, SusanLander, .us. And they could go there. If you put your name and your email in, you can actually download the complete Farrah Fawcett interview from here and the Queen Elizabeth I interview.
Fascinating.
So, yeah.
Oh, good. I didn't know that, and I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun talking with you, and I'm an intuitive, and I'm not an active medium. I don't specialize in mediumship. So I'm always fascinated by people who have that special gift to speak so easily and in such detail with the other side.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm also, these days, I'm actually debuting some workshops to teach people how to communicate with spirit. So again, if they check my website, that's all there.
Susan Lander, thanks so
much
for being back on Energy Stew.
Thank you so much, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. And Susan, I said be back on the show. Actually, we've re-recorded this. And thank
Anytime.
You all. Thank you all so much for listening.